Okay, before we dive in, I have to tell you about something that is very near and very dear to my heart, which is ZipRecruiter. Let me tell you a couple things about ZipRecruiter. First of all, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Let me tell you a couple other things. When you post on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 job boards with one click, a single click, 100 job boards. Powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. What else can I tell you? Oh, here's the most important part. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Zach, that's my name, Z-A-K, you're going to get a little discount code. And you know what else? It's going to make me look very good if you go to ZipRecruiter and you use this code. So if you need ZipRecruiter, use the code. And you know, if you don't need it, just consider putting it in the back of your mind because you might need it one day. And the code will be there. We're in no rush. I mean, those are the good people at ZipRecruiter. We're here when you need us. You know what I mean? We're there. We're like, I don't know, we're like Tylenol. We're just in your closet. And you don't need us until you need us. And then you need us. And by the way, I don't work for ZipRecruiter. This is not an us kind of situation. But I'm a fan. I've used ZipRecruiter and I approve. This is going on way too long. Okay, here we go. Let's dive in.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Okay, here we go. Episode 74, Seaforth. You know, we actually recorded this one live in person at Shelter Music Group in the BMG building. The fine folks at Shelter let us use their office to record, which was a perfect place to record with Seaforth, I gotta tell you. But Seaforth, let me tell you a couple things. First of all, sexiest duo in country music, hands down. More importantly, though, their new single, Breakups, is on country radio right now. You can hear this today. Coming at you. I'll tell you another thing that's coming at you. Seaforth on the Joran Davis tour, which is getting ready to hit the road. And I gotta tell you, this really excites me that Seaforth's coming to a town near you. Makes my heart skip a beat. When you walk down the street, it's a little Buck Owens for you. And I love these guys. Funny, charismatic, very smart, good looking, great music. What's not to like about Seaforth? Check this out. Seaforth, if you don't know them, you're going to learn about them right now. Here we go. Let's dive in.
Yeah. Here we go.
I can show you the world.
Seaforth, in the studio.
Hello.
Zachariah.
Guys, first of all, that car.
Zachaton.
Is that really the car that you drive everywhere that you pulled in here with?
That is my truck, yes.
We hire it when we need to go places. There's a car dealership.
What is that?
Street.
That's an F-150?
Yes, 96.
Where'd you get that from?
I got that from a bloke in Kentucky. I drove up there, about two-hour drive. It was a one owner. He had it in his garage for like 10 years or something. It was his dad's car. He was selling it for him. Only 80,000 miles. Gave him cash, drove it back to Nash.
How much is that car? Can you tell me?
It's nothing crazy. I got it for six.
Six million.
Six million.
600K.
Yeah.
Is that is that like your dream? Would you track that model down?
Yeah. Well, I originally wanted a birth year, which would be 94, and then this came up, and I was like, I'm not going to get it. Like, I'm not going to find another one like this. So I had to get it. 96,
I love that
2 years.
Car.
It's close.
When you guys came into that with that, I was like, fuck yeah, that's the Seaforth vehicle
right there.
Is that, what do you drive?
Dude, I drive a I drive a Nissan Altima, bro. Nissan.
Dude, I wish you were like Nissan Leaf.
If you Googled car, my car
would come up.
you guys are so that's like I drive a Honda CRV, which to me is like the first car that's not
That's a little SUV, right?
It's a little SUV. To me, that's the first car that's not a bad car.
No, that's
like,
good.
That's in a category that's the first level of.
That's
a good.
That's probably the safest car out there, right?
That car is so safe. I crashed.
What does
that
CRV
thing.
Stand for? Car rental vehicle.
Car rental vehicle.
Car respect.
Car respect.
Car respect me. Vehicle.
Can't respect
this vehicle.
This vehicle.
Yeah.
That.
I think
is that what it stands for?
Can't respect vehicles.
Do you guys have any idea how good looking you guys are? Do you know this?
No.
This is everybody. I was talking with someone. This is true. I was talking with someone 2 days ago who's a very attractive woman. And I said to her that I was going to be talking to the Seaforth guys. And the first thing she said was those guys are so hot. That's what she said.
That's a very nice thing for her to say.
Very nice thing for her to say. Do you guys know that how hot you guys are?
Okay, really, but say, do you guys know her? I'm like,
do you guys are like really attractive, right? Have you guys always like, were you guys popular?
I would just never think that ever or say that. No, I'm crawling into a shell at the sound of it.
Yeah, everybody talks about the C4th guys though. That's a true reaction.
Really?
That's what
well,
she said.
I appreciate that very
that means,
much.
That means
Joanne
a lot.
Thinks that.
Okay.
Now then you got people listening going, who? No, they're not.
Those guys, these guys. No, you guys are. And by the way, see, the thing is like Mitch, for example, I'm looking at, he's got like a really nice guy vibe, but the tattoos give him a little bit of like an edge. So he's got this really, both you guys have
edge,
this very
sure.
nice person to, energy.
The glasses make me very, and you
very
you
nice,
get this,
approachable.
Very,
very approachable. But the tattoos give a little bit of an edge, which I think is like a really good vibe.
He might be intelligent, but probably not. And he might have done some time in prison.
Is that
that's
what,
okay?
Okay. Let me ask. Okay, so the Reels, for example, Instagram
yes.
and TikTok. You guys are really funny on these. There was something you guys were doing this like eat shit challenge.
Yes.
Where you guys ate snails, right?
We didn't eat actual shit.
That's next.
Just to
but
clarify.
But it is funny that people, I feel like in most conversations we've had with people recently, they'd be like, you're the is it shit guys? You know, the guys that eat shit?
Yeah.
Like, we don't actually eat feces.
But, no, I knew that.
But sometimes.
No. So, but wait, hold on. So I've got, have you done four episodes? Because I saw that it was episode four. Yeah.
Yes.
I couldn't find the other episodes. Are the other episodes on your Reels?
They're on Pornhub.
Is that
No, they're on Instagram. They're on
I
our
think,
profile.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think, yeah, we've uploaded all of them. But we essentially, I was at Kroger one day. And I was walking down one of the aisles and I just saw some things on the aisle that I was like, that just looks shit. Like who would buy this? And then, I was like, we should just do a thing where we just try shitty foods. And so we went to Kroger and we just picked out some stuff that looked horrible. And it was.
Now.
And the premise is just, is it shit?
Are you worried that James Corden was doing this and he got canceled? Or he didn't get canceled, but they called him out.
Was this for the spin the table
thing? For spin the table thing. They were eating, like, you guys were very grossed out about eating these snails, but the French eat snails. Maybe you're going to kill your French audience.
Dude.
Is this possible?
We did have someone reach out.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
We did the Swedish fish one. I don't know if you, well, you haven't seen the other ones.
I haven't seen the other
ones. There's this canned Swedish fish called surströmming.
Yeah.
And I saw some people on TikTok do it. And like they literally open the can and start like projectile vomit. Like it's so, so bad. And I was like, well, I have to do it. And I didn't tell Mitch about it. And I ordered it from Sweden. It cost like $65. Took like 3 weeks to get there. It arrived at the house and I set up the table while Mitch was like out somewhere. He comes back. I'm like, all right. And we did it. But it was this Swedish fish that's like, it's notoriously
terrible.
Bad, like smelling. And then apparently it's like some delicacy, whatever. But then we did
when
it.
It's not, when you say Swedish fish, I think of the red.
No,
candy.
No,
it's not.
Bad.
It's
actual, like fermented,
canned,
fermented,
oily,
canned, like fish, like
disgusting.
An actual fish. And if, like, there's a way to eat it, and I watched some videos on it. But this woman messaged us, and fair enough, like, we didn't even think about it. But she's like, oh, like, this is offensive to people that, like, eat this food for a living. And I'm like, hey, each to their own. If you want to
eat it for a living, that's their 9 to 5.
I'm not saying it tastes good. And if you try
to, I'm like, there's certain things that everyone's going to get offended by. Yeah. And
you're never going to please everyone.
If you're offended by just us not liking food, I'm okay with that.
Like, what
we're not saying, like, the people that eat it are terrible. We're like, I personally think
don't like the food.
This doesn't taste very nice.
Don't you think?
Mainly just, I don't like the taste of it. You call it, is it shit? Because it's funny.
But don't you think, like, if you saw like some Americans doing a similar thing with like Vegemite or Promite, like, would that offend you? Or
I'd be like, fuck off, Vegemite's great. But then that'd be the end of it.
But also, yeah. And my argument would just be like, they're just not eating it right. And I think
they're putting too much on.
I think we weren't eating.
That's the
it
idea.
Right.
We wanted to get a guest on. We do it, but then we have Vegemite as one of it. So then the guest has to be like,
yeah.
And then try the.
The problem with Americans is that we think that you have to load it up and
like
put
it's Nutella
on.
Or something.
Wrong.
But it's a thin layering of Vegemite.
Yes. Have you tried it?
I have tried it. I don't actually.
Was it
shit? I actually had an Australian. Maybe you guys know Michael Chase over at MGM. He's an Australian who lives in Nashville.
Okay.
He put like a bread together. He put a little bit of butter down. We toasted the bread, put butter down. He put a little bit on. Like he did it the way
the
he
right
did
way.
It.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
right way. I still did not really like it.
I think it's personally. Just you don't know what to expect at all. You're expecting like a nice sweet, like Nutella-y kind of thing.
The aftertaste.
And then it's just, whoa, that's a salty experience, which some enjoy. But
you're
not prepared
have,
for it. It's not going to be nice.
Do you get shipments here? Do you have like
shipments?
Like, no, but
got
do
a
you,
shipment
but do you have some of your apartment?
I'm getting shipment in for Glastonbury.
Where you live, is it getting shipped in? Like, do you guys always have it
my,
on?
My mom will just send a tub every now and then, like a little Australian care package. And
I love
it'll
that.
It'll
yeah,
last
yeah.
a while. And then if Two we days. Go back, which we haven't been in a while, we'd usually pick it up. But yeah, mom will send some.
We usually pick it up. I also like this other video that you guys did where I think it was for the Eddie Zanuck promo where like you were talking and you were basically like you
cutting
were trying
off.
You were starting to what
oh, yeah, just get
you
out.
Were starting to say something. Mitchell was starting to say something and Tom was just cutting him off.
Yeah.
Why what is this? Where's this come from? Is this just like
we've
a thing
kind of,
that
we've kind of joked around with that kind of thing for a long time because there's two of us and like you say, like about the whole like attractive thing or anything, like we're so self-deprecating. We're not very good with like compliments. And I feel like we're not very good with like self-promo either. Like I feel like a lot of people are like good at being like, here's what I'm doing. And I feel like we just aren't very good at that. Just in nature, we're pretty self-deprecating. So I feel like we've known each other so long and we're such good friends. We just kind of take the piss out of each other. And we did like an interview when we first started this whole project. And I remember we like went and edited the interview. It was this full like camera, like sit down thing. And we edited the interview so that every time I spoke, like a ship, like a cruise ship horn just went like over me. Like, but like, that's kind of just been this like a running joke where like, we'll do it. Like where one person just can't get a word in, you know,
just, you know, but, a bit of interest, yeah. Something different.
Does someone on your team tell you that like your strength is how funny you guys are and how clever you are and to play that up? Do you guys talk about this? Like, how do we create content that
we get to like, cause I feel like we slacked a little bit in the content over COVID. Cause it was just like, we're not very happy right now.
We're not really doing it.
Post, we need personality. I'm like, I don't have any personality right now.
Yeah.
I just can't pull it out. But think that's something that like I think we need to exploit in a way because it's just us and it's just the real Seaforth. And I think
it's like, you
I
know,
think that we have something.
Yeah. That if you can get a message across as well, like with promo and if you can make it enjoyable where it's not just like, hey guys, we're Seaforth. We're going to be playing here. Like, which is great. But like, I feel like for us, since we do kind of just have that gear of just like being dickheads, I guess we try to like,
is that the MO on Seaforth? Everyone says, I'll tell you the other thing. Cause I was talking to a couple other people. It's like, I'm talking to Seaforth. And the other thing, other than you guys are really hot, was those guys are hysterical. Everybody thinks you guys are so funny and you're on your Instagram accounts for 2 seconds or your TikToks and you guys are hysterical and so engaging. Like you guys make great content. I don't even think you have to try that hard. Even you were like, here's how you make toast. You put the toast in the toaster, you push the thing, toast. Like that was the whole content.
Yeah.
But when I did it just then, it wasn't very funny. When you did it, it was like very funny. I watched it like 3 times.
Thanks, man.
I was like, the content's really good.
I think the accent maybe does a lot as well. Just like sounding foreign, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so here's what I'm trying to understand. Tom, you are a guitar prodigy. Mitch always says that Tom is a guitar prodigy, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is true. First of all, I want to talk about this in a couple different ways, but how did you learn how to play guitar? Did you take lessons or are you self-taught?
I'm very much self-taught. I took lessons until I was maybe like 12, 13.
Chris Raggett.
Was that the guy?
Chris Raggett.
Was he
taught
the local
us both.
Legend? The
he
local,
was the local was
the blues,
ledge.
The blues king.
Yeah. Do you look back on him and you go, that guy still was like my high school and middle school guitar teacher. I still think that guy's a ridiculous guitar player. Do you look back on this guy and do you think he's still really good?
I don't know. I honestly haven't looked. Like, I couldn't tell you. I remember thinking he was a wizard back in the day. And like,
I think I had a digital camera video of when I was getting a guitar lesson with him once. And I was like, you have to play that again. And like, I filmed him and I need to find that. Cause like, I know how I felt. I knew how I felt in that second. I was like, it's the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And now it's probably just like,
it's cool though. When you think about it, like, you know, you realize your progression where like you used, like, I remember I used to listen to certain songs and be like, this sounds incredible. How did they get this sound? Whatever. And then I hear it now and I'm like, oh, it's just this or whatever it is. And so it's like, cool.
It's
to
just
see,
the
like,
level you're at. Yeah.
Your progression as you grow and stuff. I feel like if you are, you know, if you're trying to get better and trying to improve, it's like,
you don't want to look back and be like, that was the best thing. That's where I was great. Cause then you haven't progressed at all.
But are you like, when you're taking lessons, are you learning songs? Are you trying to like, were you a scales guy?
Bit
or
of both.
Were you just playing along to records and finding stuff that you liked and trying to figure out and play along to it basically?
I feel like it got, you do the, like the quote unquote boring stuff to begin with, and you learn like shapes and you learn like scales and whatever. And then eventually, at a point, you're like, I want to learn like XYZ by Keith Urban or whatever it is. And then, like, that's when Mitch and I started getting like, we were always mates, but we get like competitive. I remember like we would both leave class at different times to have like guitar lessons. So we'd be in like science or something in like grade 7, and I'd be like, I'm going to go to the lesson, and I'd come back, and Mitch would be like, what'd you learn today? And I'm like,
and beat it, Michael Jackson solo.
Yeah, exactly. And then Mitch comes back. He's like, learned it too. Like,
would you cut out a class, or it was like part of your school that
dude? It was the best.
You could cut out.
It was the best.
Like, sorry, you cut out a class. Lesson.
Yeah.
So you were taking guitar lessons. You would just leave. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You literally just leave it.
Which I would definitely use every now and then if I didn't. I'd be like,
was it in the school?
Gee, I'd love to learn about this, but I have a guitar lesson.
I have a guitar lesson.
He's going to sit out on it.
Which in hindsight was probably much more valuable than whatever you were learning.
Mitch, why don't you tell the class what do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh,
about that time. Guitar lesson again.
Wait, so here's what I want to know, because Mitch always says that Tom is the guitar prodigy. And if you watch you guys play acoustic, Mitch is always playing the leads, right?
Mitch is great, dude. Mitch is...
You're really good. Yes. And I kind of want to talk about how good you are.
Well, that's only because I can't hold down the rhythm enough. And I
was going to ask, is the rhythm harder than the lead?
Well, I just feel way more comfortable Tom taking like the main rhythm of it all, because he's the strong guitarist. And then I can focus on singing and do some fiddling. And
But a big part of the sound of the two of us playing together is what you do. Like, without you, if it was just me playing guitar... because we both play and have played for so long, I feel like we find ways where we're both not just strumming a G chord in the chorus. You know what I mean?
Like when we first started, we were playing like we were both strumming the whole time, but like with a playing in with a capo on it,
a different
fret, so you could like get a different voicing. But now it's very much just like
parts,
yeah,
which is cool.
But if you see us play full band, Tom's on electric, playing all the lead, I'm just up there strumming away and playing acoustic guitar.
I knew that was having a strum and playing guitar.
Yeah.
But I like when you guys were on the Bobby Bones show, for example, and you played acoustic, your new single Breakup.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, when you played that riff, that little intro riff, like this is going to sound weird because it's not like the most complicated riff, but you just perfectly nailed it, like right in the pocket
with a
vibe. And just to me, that's not that easy to really do.
I appreciate it.
Is that just because you guys have played wedding bands, you've taken guitar lessons since 9 years old?
I mean, yeah, we've played guitar for a long time, both of us, and music and played together for a very long time and just a lot of shows. Yeah. So I feel like now there's just like a muscle memory. Synergy between us and music.
But you can play circles around a lot of people in town as well. Like, I feel like you know, like you do say very nice things about my playing, but like, to be fair, like Mitch is a very, very competent guitarist in his own right. And
Mitch is a very, very average guitarist.
Mitch is a very, very nice guy.
Would you like if the C4 thing didn't work out, would you guys be session guitar players?
No.
And like, if it wasn't working out, you wouldn't be like session guitar players. That would working out, so we don't have to talk about that.
I don't think it would be the first.
To put it in perspective, like we say, like, I mean, we've both played guitar for years, and I feel confident playing guitar. Like, I feel like I can, you know, get into a room, into a studio, play whatever. Like, but I remember when we started working with Dan Huff on our first EP.
That guy's a guitar player.
Oh my god, yeah, he's a weapon. But we had the live band tracking, right? And it's like crazy because they come in, they hear the song twice, they'll write the chart, and then they'll go in and they'll play it.
Yeah,
and
that
it's like,
always blows my mind.
By take two or three, they're like nailing it. And you know it's what? Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So we have this song called Taking Your Picture on our first EP. And Dan was like, we did that from scratch. There was no pre-pro, no nothing. So it was like very, you know, from the ground up. And so Dan was like, Tom, get in, we'll set you up with an acoustic and you can play along with the band. I was like, okay, cool. And then I put the headphones on and it was like, you imagine like a singer that's really good outside of the booth and then gets in the booth and gets like booth fear and then just can't do it. That Jordan was like how I felt Jordan Booth. That's how I felt when I was playing acoustic with this band. I got the hang of it, but dude, it's like pressure, man. It's a whole other like skill set to be able to like deliver on the spot, because you're playing with a whole band and it's like, if you fuck up, then you're the guy that fucked up when the rest
you
of
were in the take.
It.
Everyone
that would be the most. Yeah, that's
it's
so
daunting,
much
man.
That,
I have so much respect for dudes that do it like for a living, man.
I always think it's funny because to me, that is the most impressive thing to be able to do that, that like the one take, two take wonders. Yet, despite the fact of how impressive it is, they do it all the time, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I feel like it always surprises them when they do it.
Right.
Like they go, that was a one take. Like they're always surprised that they get on the first take.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like they do that every day. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my impression. Right.
I literally like, I mean, I'm producing a track for our buddy that's signed here, but we got in with the band this one day and did like a band tracking day. And dude, by the second take, we were kind of looking around like, I think we fucking got it.
I think we got it.
And and then they did like two more like little bits and then added, but like it was like that easy. Like it's crazy, man. Like that, it's just so efficient.
They know too. They're like, yeah, I'm not playing again.
Yeah, yeah.
They know. When they do, that's my best work. They know.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not
being there. Like, do you want another 30 takes or like then you could comp roll together? Yeah. And
that's the thing about vocals too, man. I feel like, you know, we've gone through phases of like doing heaps of takes and doing not so many, because I feel like there is something about doing like five takes top to bottom and just going, because like you can get caught up and do like 20 takes of a chorus and then like,
the emotion
disappears. And
if you don't get within the first couple takes, you might as well come back.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like you get stuck with the demo vocal and you're like, that's it, can't beat it. The emotion's there, and then other times you have to beat it and you spend multiple times coming back to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure this out, that when you guys have been coming back and forth to Nashville for a couple of years, starting I think in like 2014. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you guys played the showcase at the Basement.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is when you guys actually get signed. Mm-hmm. Who, first of all, who books the showcase?
I think
that's
a
great question.
Was it either a manager at the time or, well, we didn't really have a manager at the time, but it would have been probably Katie Jellin, who now works at Warner Chappell.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys booked the showcase.
Yeah.
And was it packed? Like,
Yeah.
And does she get the label heads and everyone out there? Because this was like a hot room to be in, right?
So this was at a time where, yeah, we'd taken label meetings with about everyone in town.
So everyone kind of knew you guys.
And then after that, they were like, we're going to do a showcase to like sum up the trip. We're leaving.
It was like WME.
Like, a few days after. Well, like, you guys want to come out and see them. And then we had like most labels were there. It was kind of like, holy shit, like the pressure's on. We'd never played any of our songs with the band. We got like a few Nashville guys to play with us. We rehearsed it for an afternoon and then we rocked up and like everyone's there and we were like,
Randy Goodman sat destroy this. Front and center. Like we had two friends in town and they were front row, and then Randy Goodman literally pulled up a chair. The head of like Sony, our label, pulls up a chair, sits front and center, right in front of him, like right with them in front of us.
So
like,
as you're playing,
yeah, he's as close as this right water there, bottle in front.
Like,
of
what's more pressure, playing for Dan Huff or playing for Randy Goodman?
I weirdly didn't feel pressure that night. It was weird. I should have really? For sure.
I don't think we hadn't even actually played in front of Dan until we like started playing shows. Then he came out to watch, but we never had to do like the. Like a test, like play to be like, are these guys good enough for me
that's
to work with?
Right?
We never had to do that, but like we walked into the room with the head of the label there, the whole A&R team, and we're just like, this is our shot. So there's a lot of pressure on that, but I feel like it quick, like we'd sit and talk with everyone for a little while, and after the stuttering disappeared, we just got up and sang, and then we hung, and it went over like so well.
And doesn't he sign you? Like, doesn't he basically say we're signing these guys? Didn't you?
Yeah.
Then what happens? Do you then go to the Sony building?
We did it in the Sony building. So this we essentially got offered the deal before the showcase.
We had met with like all labels in town, and that we had a couple of like offers at this point. And so that's I think why everyone like wanted to come out, because like that's like Randy, we played for him the day before or something in the Sony like kind of performance media room, whatever, and he offered us like a deal on the spot in that room.
So does that make, is that less pressure because you're like, we already got a deal, or is it more pressure because you're like, if we screw this up, he might take it away?
Well, it's like if we bum this performance and they're like, don't worry fellas. But we were on such a high, we were so excited,
that energy. I always think that I love seeing showcases or bands where it's maybe their first showcase or their first band, and they go, is this going to work?
Yeah.
And then there's a moment on stage where it clicks and they realize it's working.
Yeah.
And that energy is really special, right?
Yeah.
When it's like the first time that this works.
100%. Yeah.
So they just call you back in. And I know Randy said something like, he was like, okay, I've got a meeting, but he called in legal or something. He said, we're signing these guys,
he
right?
He called in the head of legal and was like, like, introduce yourself. This is Seaforth. We're signing these guys. And then she's like, oh, okay. Hi.
And
then walks out.
And do you have your, like, a lawyer come in, or how, like, what's the next, was this all done before you flew back to Australia?
We ended up, we had like a week or so. We played the showcase. Yeah. And we kind of like just making our decision, because we had a couple offers, and we, like, this is just so surreal for me and Tom. We're like, what do we do? Like, how do we make the right choice?
Yeah, we wanted to get like a foot in the door, and then ended up having these like offers, which is just like not what we expected. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like, holy shit. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. And then we ended up making a decision to sign with Sony, told them, came back here. Oh, they had like a big like head meeting with everyone. And then they took us out to dinner as like a final.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to what's Viraga. The sushi place? Viraga.
Oh,
and like then, the back.
They were like, "What's gonna happen?" Like, you guys.
And we told them.
Tom, you love sushi, right? Isn't that your favorite food?
I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a fan.
Is that really? That's your favorite food, right?
I mean, well, I got a question. I can counter this.
Counter
with a question, but I ask people. It's like, if you could eat one cuisine for the rest of your life, and that's it.
Yeah.
What cuisine would you eat?
Do you know, I'm not just saying this. Sushi is my favorite cuisine.
Well, I would say Japanese.
Japanese
food, yeah, yeah. Because you have sushi Japanese. And you have all the different kind of, you know.
I would 100, and I think that you can do Japanese really healthy.
Yeah, totally.
You can do it a little bit extravagant.
Yeah, but I feel like good when you have good sushi, it's hard to beat.
Yeah,
like a lot of people like haven't had good sushi.
I agree.
Like, oh, I don't know, but like they'll have like the avocado roll at a sushi.
I tried sushi till we moved here.
And yeah, your
first sushi experience was at the Eastern Fried.
Oh, Battered and Fried.
Battered and Fried in East Nashville, which is not a sushi place.
That's not where you want.
But I freaking loved it.
Pretty fire. But,
dude, I was like,
So you've never been to like Nobu or any of those like nice.
No, now we're getting bougie here.
Right, but Nobu's like.
Because you lived in LA for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So would you go like, no? To me, Sugarfish in LA.
Sugarfish is like the one, eh?
Yeah.
I was in Austin, weirdly, and I went to this sushi place called Uchi in Austin.
Really good.
That my buddy at the time, my buddy, he knew the owner really well.
My retired buddy.
Yeah. No, but he knew the owner really well, so he like full took care of us and brought us out like one of everything.
You have to eat like horse foreskin.
That's the best when that happens.
I had foie gras. Do you know what foie gras is?
A duck. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so I didn't know what
definitely
it was.
Definitely not horse foreskin.
It's horse foreskin.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm there and I was with my buddy and a couple other people, and there was this Australian like there, and we were chatting and stuff, and then this thing came out, and I was like, oh, what's this? And he's like, do you know what that is? And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, eat it, and I'll tell you afterwards. I'm like,
that's never a good sign. That's never.
He's like, it's not that bad. Just eat it. And I'm like, what is it? Like, fucking, I don't know. And he's like, just eat it. So I ate it. Yeah. And so I ate it. And then he explained to me that it was like they force feed a duck until its liver explodes.
Right.
And then you eat the exploded duck's liver.
But it's good, though.
Oh, it was, yeah. Well, I mean, it's
what happens to the liver that makes it taste different after the exploding?
I think it's just because the liver expands. So there's more.
Oh, there's more of it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think I heard you say your favorite food is eggs.
I'm a breakfast man.
But how do you make
it? Are you
eggs?
Though?
Are you?
I love a breakfast.
So do I though. Like,
honestly, recently I have tamed down a bit. I used to just every morning avocado on toast, poached eggs.
Do you poach the eggs yourself with like vinegar
Great.
And you,
yeah,
you have
yeah,
your
yeah.
system,
a bit
you
of
boil
vinegar.
The water, vinegar in the
Oh yeah.
Me turned through a phase I remember on Instagram where like every morning on our Instagram story we just post a video of him panning on avocado and eggs. I'm like, I don't think people care this much about eggs, bro. Yeah.
Look, we have a lot to talk about here, but I'm just curious, where do you get what makes the best breakfast in Nashville?
That's tough. We were at First Watch this morning on 8th, which I like First Watch because they have big hearty breakfasts.
I don't even know what First Watch is.
First Watch is pretty fire.
Really?
Dude, you know what I gotta say? Dude, Dozen Bakery, bro.
Dozen Bakery.
Dozen
Bakery
is so good.
Dozen
Bakery
is
so good.
The bread is just
the bread is incredible.
Out of this world.
My thought on breakfast is like it's got to be some shit that like you leave and you have it and you're like I couldn't have made this, but like this was worth not making at home.
Yeah.
Because like making scrambled eggs on toast with some bacon, like, you know.
There's something about the non-cleanup. You go.
Yeah, no,
you
for
sit
sure.
Down,
well, that's like
hungover,
eating anywhere,
eat
for sure.
A nice breakfast.
But dude, Dozen, they're like egg sandwich with like pesto and shit.
Yeah,
it's actually
unbelievable.
It's like a square with like thin bread.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you buy
the sourdough
loaf from there?
I've had it.
Well, highly recommend.
And they also serve everything with Benton's bacon.
Yes.
What is
which
that?
It's the bacon they serve at Dozen. They have it at Fenwick's too. It's the same bacon. Benton, I don't know, bro, but he knows what he's doing with bacon.
Good on you, Benton. I mean,
but you're
pork guy.
You'll poach eggs and you'll like.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that meal to me, I'm like, I don't get smashed avo anywhere else because I'm like, I do that better than
and
I'm like, I love that.
Than anyone
I'm
else.
Used to that. That's anyone else in the world.
Dude, I started making scrambled eggs.
Tom's
and
got
watched,
a great
like,
scram.
Have you ever seen that Gordon Ramsay scrambled
eggs? Dude,
thing?
That's a scrambled egg I started making, bro. It's fire.
Do you nail them, you think?
Oh, yeah.
On the heat, off the heat.
Off the heat, back on the heat, off the heat, back
creme
on the
yeah. Creme fresh, chives.
Fire. Have you made them?
I've never made them.
Dude, it's so good.
Maybe I'll do it.
Sounds like you know how to make them, though.
Well, I've watched the video like a million times. You know what my
honestly,
favorite? My favorite part of the video is when he burns the bread.
Oh, yeah.
He's going like, so bad. He's
yeah.
like, shit, I burned the bread.
Yeah, yeah.
He chops it. I don't know why I think that's
dude,
genius.
It's great. Bro, there's, I got into cooking like pretty heavy at the start of quarantine. Like, I just was
did
like,
you? Yeah.
Well, because I'd never really cooked. And then I was like, you know, I'm just going to start doing it. And I was making fucking curries and all sorts of, like, it was cool. Like, it was fun. But yeah, the scrambled eggs, the Gordon Ramsay scrambled eggs are, tried and tested and proven.
And
they're
proven.
They're
is he a good cook? Because you guys live together,
no,
right?
He makes a great meal.
Do you guys mostly eat
it? It takes about 5 hours, but it is great.
Dude, I'm like slow. I need to make sure like my measurements, like most people just kind of do things on the fly. I say, add some vinegar, whatever. I'm like 1.5 teaspoons. And I'm like, oh, fuck it. Like, and I'm like, dude, it's like,
it's very, very yeah. thought out.
Do you yeah. guys eat in mostly or do you do takeout or like what's the.
Go through phases. I'll yeah. be like slamming the Uber Eats
yeah.
like nonstop. Until I'm like, I just don't want to eat this shitty fast food around
yeah,
me.
And then
I'll
go,
get
Tom,
groceries. And then usually for me, yeah, it's like I'll make my breakfast and my lunch. Then I get to dinner and I'm like, shit.
But dude, it's like then you order Uber Eats and you see the menu and the item you get is like $14 or something. You're like, it's not too bad. And then you get the delivery and then you have to tip. And it ends up being like $25 every time you. And
it's
like,
really
you
expensive.
Go and buy
yeah.
shit to make food and like. It's
yeah.
cheaper and it's
yeah.
like fun, but then it's just, I don't know, it's the discipline of doing it.
And sometimes I feel like I get really annoyed when I tip and sometimes they don't do a good job delivering it. And
right.
then I don't want to give a good tip. Okay. Hold on. We got a lot to talk about here. I got to move on because I have to talk about this new single
okay.
Breakup, which is being shipped to country radio. It's on country radio
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
You can hear this on country radio. Tom, did you produce this yourself? Because when you
mm-hmm.
go to the Spotify credit, you're the only name listed here. Is it
yeah.
just you?
Yeah.
Your credit, Mitchell, were you slacking?
Well, no.
Why was Mitchell
was
not involved
sleeping.
In the
just
production
having a nap.
Of this track?
Let me take this, if I may, because it says my name on the production because, like, I guess, like, and you can, I guess, speak into this, but, like, I definitely like get in with the nitty gritty and it was like editing drums and doing blah, 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 blah. But the song wouldn't be the song without both of us. And the whole project wouldn't be, we had this conversation today. Like we are both equally as important without a shadow of a doubt. But I feel like from a production standpoint, I'm just like literally obsessed with music. And I just sit in our home studio and just make music and work and work and work. And like, it's just, you know, I don't really have a whole lot else going on in my life. So that's kind of all I do. But like that song, yeah, it kind of stemmed from the demo, which I did. And then like, you know, I don't know.
He produced it on his laptop.
Yeah.
He produced it.
Yeah.
Did you think when you were
we had outsourced players to like put parts on it, but then like Tom put it together on the laptop. We tracked each other's vocals. The extent of my production on that was comping my vocals.
That's all he did. He doesn't get production.
I recorded my vocals and comped them.
There you go.
I had to do twice.
And
because we've
maybe
said,
3 times.
Yeah.
And the final vocal.
I had COVID as well when I did it.
You were when the vocal on the record is you with COVID.
Yeah.
You have COVID on the record.
Yeah.
You sound great on the record. That's COVID.
Thank you, bro. Yeah.
That's the secret.
Just get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom has a great
Are you team. Serious?
Oh, no. Yeah. I think you said it. We were in an interview or something like for a radio and we said that in the interview. And then Mitch, I think, was like, that's why there's no taste in the vocal.
Tasteless.
Tasteless.
Do you send this to anyone when it's finished to get feedback or anything? Like, do you trust yourself as a producer or do you go, let me send this to, you know, Dan and see if he has any pointers or do you send someone at the label? Like how's this work?
Man, I guess that's great that we have each other too, because like, you know, Mitch hears everything as we're working on it and stuff. And if there's things that don't seem right or whatever, like I remember we were collaborative with like parts and different things, but you have to trust yourself. And I think you have to also not trust too many people or not seek out opinions from too many people, because then it gets crowded because everyone's going to have an opinion.
Yeah, you're swayed left, right?
Yeah. I remember I did ask Dan about breakups though. I haven't really utilized that because, you know, he's so busy and I don't want to be like, hey, Dan. But with that song particularly, it was getting mixed and the mix didn't feel right. And I was going back and forth with him and he was so complimentary. And so like, he was like, dude, you're a producer. Like, you're in the club, like you don't need to like second guess yourself, like just like what you've made here is really special and you need it, like kind of thing, which is really amazing to hear from your hero,
from that guy.
You know what I mean?
That was like seven mixes, right?
We went to one mix engineer who was amazing. He's an amazing mix engineer, but just I think, you know, it wasn't the right song, whatever. And then we ended up using another guy who, you know, crushed it. But it's like, you know, you go through iterations of mixes. So by the time that song was done, I was like, I think it sounds good.
Like, just put it out.
Yeah.
Who do you trust to give it to you straight? Like, does Pete, the manager, do you think he's going to tell you this is the right mix? Is there someone that you, or Dan, I guess Dan is not going to be a yes man. He's going to tell you that, you know, what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, someone like Dan that you're like, he's heard so many records, worked on so many records. He has a good like ear for what's on the radio and all that. I think he'd shoot you straight for sure. Yeah. But also I think, it's just, we've got to be happy with it at the end of the day.
Yep.
And like, there's mixes that we get back that people are like, that's great. And we're like, something's still not right until it is.
Until it
and
is.
And then we could just overthink too.
And
yeah.
And I could go on about this and I'll try not to, but you can get so caught up being like, when you, it's so close to you, you're like, oh, the Gallup like horse sample that I used for percussion in verse two isn't loud enough. Where like, that doesn't matter, like really. And like my buddy showed me a mix of something that he did the other day and he's like, do you have any notes for this mix? And I listened to it. I was like, dude, it sounds great. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to turn these claps up in the second. And I'm like, you forget that you get so caught up in what you want it to sound like that when someone hears it for the first time, they're not going to.
But then you hear the next time he's turned those claps up, you're going to listen to it and go, I liked it before.
Yeah.
Because that's that
fuck,
was
those
where
claps
I
are
to
too
it.
Loud.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can we get the horse gallops back?
Yeah. I don't know why I'm in horse gallop, but yeah.
What happened to those horse gallops? That so you guys write this song with Liz Rose and Cameron Bedell, right?
Yeah.
And who brings in this idea of like breakups, or who like how do you guys get with that hook?
I feel like we didn't have like any title or anything at all at the beginning. I just had this little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
And then we kind of like wrote about like just like started going with melodies, and then Liz kind of like just went to Tom, and for some reason Tom's always had some relationship stuff going on in some rights. I feel like that actually happens a lot. They're like,
just
Tom,
like
what's going on?
Therapy session for the boy, dude.
What is going on in your life, Tom? Tell us.
Not a lot right now.
But we started an idea that before that, and I think we were like, it's shit. And then
I think Liz honestly was like, does this feel great? And we were like, I don't know. She's like, yeah, let's do something else. We're like, okay, well, if Liz Rose tells you to do something, you know,
you do something else. Yeah.
And then
she was just like, what's going on in your life? Like, where are you at? Let's be real here. And then Tom opened up about some things going on in his life, and there was a recent breakup. Yeah. I don't feel right narrating your personal life, but
tell us about your
we got into
life.
The deep of that.
Yeah, no, I had gone through a bad breakup with a girl that I've been in a relationship with for a long time, and it happened at a Liz Rose camp that we were all at like a month and a half.
Were
prior.
You both at the camp?
No,
or you were.
She's
at the
in
camp.
Australia.
She was in Australia.
I was in Nashville.
Long distance relationship.
Prison.
And yeah, prison. Yeah, she got sent back to prison. But no, we broke up at the Liz Rose writing retreat.
Yeah.
And so that's why Liz like knew about that whole thing, because you know, I was a bit like wrecked by it, obviously, and then I, you know, that's when Liz was like, hey, what, you know, have you spoken to that girl yet? And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I haven't, but it sucks because I want to, but I can't because we broke up. And it's like,
10 steps
that's
back. It's like,
yeah. And that's where the whole kind of thing came from. So
are you guys still friends?
Yeah.
So does she know the songs about her?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I really want a song written about me. Is that like, is she into this? The songs written about her?
She's a writer too, and a singer. And so she's like sent me, she's like, because we kind of reconnected and we're like friends, like, you know, it's like fine. It took a while to get there for sure. But
is it
like,
fine, Mitch? Is it fine?
We'll find out.
It wasn't for a long time.
It wasn't for a long time.
A long time.
This is a long saga.
It was a saga. It was like Star Wars.
But now
like
it's 12.
This is like the Shrek trilogy.
Would you ever bring her out on tour to sing the song with you?
No. That would be weird.
It'd be a bit weird. But
this is a girl that
you're probably right. You're probably right. It's a bit weird. No one's ever done that before.
She's a writer, singer as well. And like when we started talking again, like she's like, you know, like how's like work and how's music and stuff. And then we'd send each other like songs. And she sent me a few songs that was just like, fuck you. You broke my heart. And I'm like, cool.
I think this is a sweet song because if I'm sort of getting this song is saying like, I want to reconnect with you. Yeah. I want to reconnect, but I'm worried that, you know, we maybe broke up for a reason. Yeah. And if we do connect, it's going to end poorly.
We're going down the rabbit hole again. And that's the universal feeling, I feel like. And that's why we were so excited about the song.
Yeah, 100%.
People connect to that. And like everyone goes through that at some point. If it was an amicable breakup or it just wasn't right.
You still miss that person in a way.
It's your best friend. You become so close. So.
I love this song. I love the performance of it. I love when you guys play it. I love seeing there's like even the acoustic version on Bobby Bones. You guys capture this energy and this vibe in the room.
Thanks, man.
Always when you guys play. I think I saw you guys play for the first time at City Winery. I think it was a Dolly Parton tribute show. Is that possible?
And
I think
you guys came out. Music. Did we play it there?
I think you did Jolene.
We did Jolene.
It might not be Dolly show. Was it a Dolly show?
It was Women in Country.
It was Women in Country. And you guys came out and did Jolene. I said, these are some interesting looking women in country.
Mitch had the wig on that night.
Tried the wig on. But I just remember you guys being so good. And even with you guys with an acoustic guitar, I think not all artists can get up with an acoustic solo and really capture an energy in the room. Mm. And you guys do that, the two of you guys.
Thanks, man.
When you get up and you play, it's so good. Amazing. So
thank
good.
You, thank you.
And now you guys are going out with Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On the Buy Dirt tour.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys rehearsing for this already? When does the tour start? September?
Yeah, September 9th.
So are you guys getting ready for this or what? How do you get ready for this?
We had our first rehearsals back a couple weeks ago because we hadn't played with a band in like a year and a half. We did our first run of shows. Like,
who's in your band? You guys have great players in your band, right?
We have our good buddy Justin DeGraff on bass. He's originally from Canada.
Yeah.
And we scooped him up. And then on drums, we have a guy called Jeremy Abbott, who's an absolute legend. And just become a little family now. We've been with the boys for a little minute now, but year and a half, nothing. We had like five rehearsals back to prepare for these hour sets. And we were like, there was dust and cobwebs everywhere. But after that, I feel like we felt pretty confident, but then we played like four shows. And even during the shows, we were making changes, like still figuring it out. Cause it's like
adding songs to the set.
Yeah. It's all new music, taking stuff out, but we'll get in and do a couple rehearsals before Jordan, like the Jordan stuff. But I feel like after getting out and doing those few shows, we have a fair idea of where we want to be.
Why a smaller band? Is that ideal? Like when you guys are headlining arenas,
money.
Smaller band, more for us, basically.
Still none for us, less in the red.
less in the red. But this is going to be. I mean, I hope to make it out to one of these shows because this is going to be such a fun.
Please, man. Yeah,
it's going to be so great to see you guys play. I also saw you guys at the Sony Showcase. I think at 12th and Porter.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I thought you guys were amazing then. How are you guys structuring this set? Is it going to be the same every night, and you guys are going to have your big intro when you walk on?
Yeah.
And then where does breakups come in the set? Like, where are you putting this? At the end? Or
probably going to be like,
probably won't play it.
We'll just get
probably,
see
we're
if,
sick of it already.
See if Jordan wants to do it.
If Jordan wants to do it or Mackenzie Porter.
Yeah, Mackenzie can do it.
Mackenzie can do it.
We're just going to get up and do half an hour of Jordan Davis songs.
That would be epic.
We just put
the
it
last
on
night of the tour. Like,
the
tour
iPod.
You guys should do that. We'll put on as you're walking off, it'll be your walk off music. It'll be a recording of you guys playing it.
It's funny. It's this funny thing because obviously, like, on headlining these shows with Jordan, but we have like an intro that's like super like, ooh. And then like we have these moments in the show and I was bored in quarantine one day and I made this like intro for breakups that's like so emotional and it's like this like you would imagine an arena intro where the lights go down and then it builds and it's all like. But we just chucked it in the set before breakups. And it's like this, we have this new song called Dr. Phil that we've been playing. And it's this kind of upbeat, like fun kind of thing. And then that ends and then it's in the same key as breakups. And it's like, ooh, thing starts. And it's this whole like big emotional thing. And it's kind of funny.
I feel like
it's
we
a
should
very
walk head off the stage for a second.
It's a
it's
very,
like, you guys are the opening.
Yeah.
Act.
It's a very headline moment for doing an opening act. For sure.
But I gotta be honest, I get kind of annoyed when I think bands don't have their intros and their interludes figured out, even if it's in the tracks or even if they do it themselves. Mm-hmm. to me, it just ties the whole thing together and it makes it feel so much more intentional and so much more magical. Right?
At the end of the day, we got to we're there to entertain the audience and
that's
his crowd up. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be people there for us too, which is awesome to think.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't done our own shows in such a long time since the Mitchell Tenpenny stuff. And there were like people that knew some of our music then, but to then see where we've progressed in that year and a half, if we have it all, or if we have to move back to Oz, it'll be a good indication doing these shows.
You might, can I give a suggestion too? You might want to do a live eat shit tasting.
Yeah, is it shit?
Is it shit? You might want to do a live tasting on stage or maybe at the meet and greets.
I think so.
Every night. Yeah.
Win a chance to play Is It Shit with the subpar Dan and Shay.
I think that could be the
poor man's Dan and Shay.
Win a chance to eat shit with Seaforth.
Seaforth is one of a kind. There is no act like Seaforth out there today.
Thanks,
they are
man.
So original. They're so just the energy they capture in a room. It's chills. They're a warm blanket that's gonna take you in and swaddle you. That's what Seaforth's
hopefully not
music
suffocate
is.
You.
No, it's gonna make you feel like a tiny baby. What have we left out here? What's been unsaid? What have we not covered here in our final moments together with Seaforth? What's been unsaid here?
Did we talk about breakups? Is it shit?
Is it shit? Did we talk about Jordan Davis?
Yeah.
I got a pretty cool truck.
Great truck. We mentioned the truck. How often do you guys go back to Australia? If it wasn't COVID, how often do you guys go back to Australia?
Every Christmas.
What do you guys do there? Like, I love going back to my home in New York, and I've got my favorite like pizza shop, and I've got like the bagels, and I've got friends there, and things
bagels,
like that. Like, I love going. Like, Australia's got really good Chinese food, right?
Like a lot of good Asian food in general.
A lot of good
we're right
Asian
by
food.
Asia,
And what do you do? Like, are there things you love? Like,
great
do you guys
sushi.
Love going back home? Do you feel great? I mean, this is kind of your second home, but do you feel really good when you go back home to Australia?
Yeah. I mean, it's always great seeing the family, but a massive thing for me home was fishing. Like, fishing in the ocean.
You're a massive fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? Deep sea or what do you do?
I would do deep sea and then like inshore reef fishing, just like, but I would go like very frequent and like
do you go
always out
in
the ocean
ever?
Straight up. It's just a different style. And I haven't been able to like get like catch the bug for it over here just because like I don't have a boat and like I'm standing on the side of the river.
But if you do like the river, like I go fishing here in like ponds or whatever.
Yeah,
is that boring for you?
I feel like I have to like do it at a bunch with people that like do it often and then I can get the ropes and then I get into it. But like fishing at home in the ocean, just where I know it and I would do it regularly, was like, that's the
Mitch
main thing I would
got
get
desperate
into.
And dug a hole in the backyard with a spade. And
filled
it with water.
Down.
Filled it with water and just put a little.
Just so he can. Yeah. You know what? I think you might have done that. I know that was a joke, but I'm not ruling that out.
It does.
It could be funny.
You might have done that.
It does.
Hey, when you guys played the Opry,
your
parents came out. Like your moms were there.
Yeah.
Did you plan for them to come out on stage, or was this like spontaneous? Were they side stage and did you like drag them out?
Yeah, they didn't know.
No, they had no clue.
They really didn't know. So they're side stage, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
They were both, it just coincided. They were both in town at the same time. And
well, regardless of the Opry.
Regardless of the Opry,
birthdays
yeah.
too as well.
Yeah. No, that's not true,
and
right?
And both named Tracy.
Both of them are really named Tracy?
Yeah. Yep. We were going to call ourselves Sons of Tracy, but it sounded a little Evanescence-y.
Not as good as Goat Mud.
Swamp Goat.
I still like, and you guys both got goat tattoos, right?
Yeah.
Where are the goat tattoos? Let me see the goat tattoos. Oh my God, those are sick.
Yeah. Not really.
We actually got new tattoos on the road over here. It's a little dog on a road, like road dog.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Literally, we got it with our band.
How much are you guys going to get full sleeves? You're much more tad. Mitch is much more tad than Tom is. Is that true?
I just got a lot of hair, bro. I need to sack the hair and put some tats on, I think.
Would you ever do a face tattoo?
No. I would do like neck.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Neck. Okay, hold on. So you're on stage at the Grand Ole Opry and your moms are side stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you just say, hey, come on out. Or did you talk about this beforehand? Hey, let's bring the moms out.
I think it was kind of intentional that we knew that we were going to get them on stage. And we knew that there was our Opry debut and the whole thing. And so we figured it was like a very Opry moment to like have them come out and join us.
I was like, we're going to bring our moms out. And they had no idea. They're like, oh my God.
Did you get standing ovation when the moms came out?
Yeah.
I think we did. Yeah. Like, it was a really special moment.
That's so epic.
And it's like our moms had never been here to see like what we're doing. We like get to tell them over FaceTime or like texting them, like we're doing this, and then like they don't really get an idea of like what we're actually doing. Like, yeah. We're doing radio tour. We're playing shows here. We're doing here. And they're like, we're going to actual radio now. They're like, what does that mean? But like, our mums came out to festivals with us, like to radio shows, like wrote like in the van with us, like flew around, stayed in hotels. Like, they got to like see us play and like get an actual taste of what we're doing over here. So it was unreal.
Yeah.
That's cool, because you also kind of wonder when you're explaining it to them, you're like, am I overhyping it? Is this as cool as I think it is?
Yeah.
Do they think I'm crazy? Do they believe me? That, and then when you get to show it to them,
yeah,
that's like the best feeling in the world. Yeah, right?
I think they don't really get it until they see it. You know what I mean? And I feel like the Opry was like the perfect thing for them to like see, to experience like Nashville and like the community and like the grandeur in a way of like, we're still, you know, baby step. We're still kind of building and everything. But even to have done what we've done since we moved away, we sometimes forget. I forget all the time. I'm like, look at where we are. Look at what we get to do for a living. You know, I can get caught up and be like, this kick sound isn't right for this note. But I'm like, no, shut up. Like, we're here. We're making music and whatever. Like, you know, it's pretty cool, man. Like, and I think that was a really cool moment for all of us to see that.
Seaforth in the studio. Here at BMG, I don't know, this is like a writer's room that we're in. Really nice space.
I like the room.
I really like the room.
Great walls.
Great walls.
Of China.
Great sound. We got a great view of the Batman building staring out right here. If you look through the window.
The Batman building.
Breakups out now.
Indeed.
Everybody's got to listen to it. But by the way, like, you guys have so many good songs that I love. When She Says came out.
Yeah, She Says.
Anything She Says. I thought that was such a good song.
Thanks, man.
A lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was going to love that song the second that kind of guitar riff came in.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Thanks, maybe, man. My favorite Seaforth song, maybe. Really? Next to Breakup, of course.
Thanks,
which
man.
Is tearing up the charts right now. So you have to listen to Seaforth on Spotify. You have to check out the Reels and the TikTok, because they're really funny.
Thanks,
they're
man.
Really funny on social media and on the content. They might be beating themselves up because they're slacking on content. That's what Mitch said in the beginning. But quantity over quality, what is out there is brilliant. It's very funny. You have to go check it out. And they're going to be coming to you soon on the Jordan Davis tour, the Buy Dirt tour.
We are. We got to buy some dirt for that tour.
You got to buy some dirt.
Bring your own dirt.
Buy some dirt.
BYO dirt.
See them on tour. And if you ever see an F-150 drive by, it could be Mitch and his.
If you ever see a black Nissan Altima drive by,
it could be an Uber or it could be Tim.
It could be an Uber.
Or it could be me driving Uber. Please don't go to plan.
Where do you get your hats from?
Walmart.
Really? No.
No.
This is
Stetson.
Stetson.
Yeah.
Classic.
I, dude. You can look like such a dickhead wearing a hat, you know? And I struggle with it, and
I
do struggle
about
with
you,
it.
Actually.
I do look like a dickhead.
You look like a huge
dickhead. No, there is a penis under that hat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but the thing is, man, it's like,
you pull it off.
The hat looks as good as you want it to look. If you walk into a room and you're like, I got a hat on, people don't question it.
Yeah.
If you walk into a room and you're like, I got a hat, they'll be like, yeah, nice hat.
Dude, you rock the hat. I've never put on I always want to wear a Stetson hat. I've never put one on that I really felt worked with me, and it's not even like a confidence thing. I just don't think it works for me.
Mm. Well, do you think glasses ruins hats. Like what hats you can wear? Because I feel like I put a hat on and I'm like, I got glasses. There's too many things going on right now.
You know what? I've never thought about that, but I think that might be like a real
like
point.
I'll put on a hat. I'm like, I need the hat because it's fucking sunny.
Well, if I wear a ball hat or a baseball hat, that works.
Yeah.
But maybe it's the when I put on the.
It's like it's such a statement. It's like wearing a fancy shirt over with a fancy jacket over it, like some patterned shirt with a different pattern.
Yeah,
like it's
too
like
much going
too
on.
Much.
It's too much going on. But dude, you rock the hat.
Thanks, dude.
I love
I appreciate
and to
it.
Me it gives because you have this very, like I'm trying. I don't
boring,
know.
Boring vanilla. Bland.
No, you have this style that is just like it's kind of like urban, and it's kind of it's very just hip, but then you throw on the cowboy hat and it's just it pulls a little bit of country flair into it.
Thanks, man.
But it's hip and modern. It's the hat pulls it all together, man.
Thanks, dude. Well, it's so funny, man, and I beat myself up for wearing a hat, like kind of self-deprecating joke, but then I take the hat off, dude, and it's a look, it's a vibe, and it definitely adds
we'll
something
be somewhere
to the whole.
And if some like I don't know, walking down the street and someone will notice Tom and be like, "Oh, is you And then they'll look at me after and be like, okay, yeah, that's Seaforth. But it's always like
it's the hat.
Tom, hat. Him noticed it's a statement. It's like that's Seaforth.
But I heard on
that other guy.
I heard on the original EP that there was originally a version of the cover art that didn't have your glasses on it.
And doesn't Randy Goodman say, yeah, Randy, what the fuck's like, going yeah, on here? You got to put the glasses on.
I was
on.
Like, ah. Oh. Because I was kind of like wearing them on and off. And he was like, no, you need the glasses. So we photoshopped the glasses into the original epic. Pictures, which I hate those photos now looking back.
I got to look back.
I just look like, oh, not a fan.
Hey, let me ask you this. Last question or last story here that I'm trying to figure out. When you guys left Nashville, you signed with Sony, you go back to Australia, and you play this going away show, yeah, like this massive going away show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys were there for like another 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, right. And all your friends were like, fuck you. Like, what? Like, we came out of your going away show.
And now we're going to get caught.
And you're still here. We bought your merch.
Your shitty mugs.
We showed up to the horrible show because we wanted to say goodbye. And then that's what happened. You were there for like another 6 months, right?
The visa process was an absolute nightmare of a thing. It was a nightmare, and everyone, like, honestly, I think people were like, oh, did the deal like happen? Is it like legit?
Yeah. Like everybody, even like, your no, moms, no, no, right. Or like,
yeah, they're like, huh. Actually, my mom was like, take as long as you need.
Stay as long as you want.
She's like, I think it's great. It gives you more time to like be ready for it.
Yeah. And she's
like,
never going to see you again.
Somewhat like her too. That was honestly quite a good impression.
That was, but then we made it out. We get the visas figured out.
Yeah,
and we get it out. And now when you go back to your friends, like, do you guys feel like the cool cats when you go back?
No.
I
haven't been back in 2 years. I feel like I'm more American than I've ever been. And I think I'm gonna go back, and people are gonna like, I'm gonna be wearing the hat, and I'll be doing the thing. And they're gonna be like, who's this dickhead? I'm saying gas instead of petrol. I'm like rolling my R's a little.
I would feel so cool going back. I would feel like just such a badass going back with the hat and the major label deal and the song on radio and conquering America. I would just feel so superior to everyone.
It's weird. Weirdly enough, going back to Sydney now feels like Nashville did when we were making trips out here, because it was a new place and it was like, I don't live there. So it's like, it's amazing. But now like Nashville's home base, and it's like you lose that like, kind of like the buzz of walk around town. It's like, this is my home now. And that's how it feels going back home now, because you're like, wow, like
you feel
like feels new again.
When,
I'm like, I feel like I'm just visiting. So it's like completely different emotion. And
totally.
Yeah. I get.
But it's cool.
I get Seaforth on the podcast, Zach. Live from BMG. Breakups out now.
It is.
Jordan Davis tour coming soon.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be supporting.
We are.
Follow these guys on socials. We are Seaforth. We are Seaforth.
We are Seaforth.
Because we are.
Buy the hat. Buy the glasses. Buy the merch.
Do it.
Buy my glasses off me.
And buy dirt.
Any final words in our final moments? Any final words? This is
cheese.
No!
No!
Are you kidding me?
That's wild.
Are you kidding me?
That's wild that just happened. That's wild that just happened.
Were you going to do an and something?
No, I was just going to say final words.
That was it. We're done.
Wow.
We can't top that.
Wild.
We're done. I'm done. I'm turning it off. We're done.
See ya.
We can't top that.
Thanks, guys.
There you have it. Seaforth on the podcast. Love these guys. Very funny. Great music. Breakups on country radio right now. And the Jordan Davis tour, make sure you see them out on the road, opening up for Jordan Davis. Tickets are on sale now. Love these guys. Great guys. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. I think that's it. We got anything else? No, that's it. See you next week. Bye.